The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks for tuning in once again. I am Paul Orlowski, and this week, some special guests because kind of a dual vocation in a way, and all the work that takes to keep going and to keep serving people. Deacon Mark Yantek is here along with his wife, Nancy, and your daughter had previously been on our program.
She was.
A wonderful young woman. But welcome to AM 1260 and God Calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Deacon, tell me about, where'd you grow up?
I grew up right here in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a West Side kid. I grew up at St. Pat's West Park.
Sure.
My family was there for almost 50 years, same family homestead. Went to St. Pat's for school, went to St. Ed's for high school, and then went into actually to Borromeo and St. Mary's afterwards.
Mm-hmm. They have a football team at St. Ed's?
I hear they do. Yeah, I hear they're doing okay these days.
So was your initial call to explore the priesthood?
It was, absolutely, yeah. Right out of high school, I felt pretty strongly called to the priesthood, and so entered Borromeo, and I loved it there, graduated, and decided to move on to St. Mary's, and it was during my discernment at St. Mary's that I realized that God had other plans for me. He was calling me to a different kind of life and a different vocation.
We've talked to many priests, and there's a lot of bumps along the road, and maybe some of them put there on purpose, because you've got to be sure.
Absolutely.
There's no taking it back.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, during my after my second year of theology at St. Mary's, I took a year off to continue to discern, because I was beginning to think that, is this really what God is calling me to? And oddly, I decided that it was, and so I went back into the seminary after that year away, but I ended up staying in for about another year and a half before God got my attention and said, no, this is I've got something else for you.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, how about you? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio, Boardman, actually. Uh-huh. And I went to Catholic grade school, public high school, and I am a social worker. And I moved to Cleveland to go to Cleveland State to get the social work program was accredited here. So when I graduated, I just stayed. And here I am.
Well, there's a lot to like here, including a husband.
Yeah.
In your life, was prayer a regular part of every day, or just weekend mass, Sunday mass?
I went to Catholic grade school, so yes, it was then. And then with Sunday mass, sure. And then when I moved to Cleveland, I kind of got away from the church. But then when I met Mark, we started going to mass, and I would go to mass more regularly. And of course, once we got serious and got married, then all the masses, all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's not an unusual story. It's rare that I hear somebody that didn't explore other things, or it's very rare in doing this program now for over 2 years.
Sure.
Mark yourself, what happened after the discerning out?
I was working a summer job the year that I decided to not go back to school. I was cutting grass at Holy Cross Cemetery in Brook Park, and that's a great summer job. You get to be outdoors, you get to work on your tan, but October becomes November, and the mornings get dark and cold, and I thought, I need to find an indoor job. And so I had no particular thoughts or ideas. I just knew that I needed something different. Answered an ad in the newspaper for an activities assistant at a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I love old people. I could do that. It's indoors. I could do that. And so I took the job, and as it turns out, I did love it. I absolutely loved doing that. As I said, I ended up going back to school for a year and a half, but when I decided to leave permanently, the only backup plan I had was that experience in the nursing home. And so I went back into doing activities in a nursing home and quickly realized I could see myself doing this for a career. And so I did. I ended up doing my internship, getting licensed as a nursing home administrator, and it's going on 30 years now that I've been a licensed nursing home administrator.
Wow.
Yeah.
How tough was COVID?
COVID has been just, it still is. It still is brutal.
I shouldn't speak past tense.
Yeah, you know, and for a lot of the world, it does seem like we've kind of moved on. But for those of us who work in healthcare, it's still a daily reality. First of all, our residents are still very vulnerable and fragile, and so we have to be very careful. We still wear masks, you know, all the time, all day long. But in terms of what it did to the residents socially was just really hard because they were locked away. We weren't allowed to have visitors for a full year. And at that point in your life, a lot of these people are thinking, I may never see my family again.
Right.
So it was really, the staff really became an emotional support as much as the physical support for the residents at that time. So
a lot of folks that age, too, I'm assuming here, but have trouble with a video conference with a family member.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's just not the same.
It's really not. Yeah, we invested in, so we bought some tablets and things so that we could assist them with it. But even at that, a lot of them couldn't figure out why they couldn't touch the person that they were talking
sure.
to. I can see them. Why can't I hug them? That sort of thing. So yeah, COVID's been very difficult for those of us who work in the long-term care industry.
Sure, sure. Nancy, how'd you guys meet?
Well, when Mark was doing his internship to be a nursing home administrator, I also answered an ad to be a social worker. I was working with emotionally disturbed adolescents prior to that. And living in Lakewood, I was looking to change paths a little bit. So I answered an ad at Aristocrat Lakewood in Lakewood to be their social worker. Mm-hmm. And Mark was training, so we met there.
Yeah. We didn't cross over for very long. I think we only worked together for about 3 or 4 months.
Just a few months.
My internship was just a short period of time, but the connection stayed. We were there.
Well, everybody at work was trying to fix this up. Everybody at work. So, and I'll tell the quick story.
Yeah.
I had a resident that needed to go home. So I said, well, Mark doesn't do anything. Mark can take him home. So Mark took him home. And well, Mark said, I'll take him home if you go to dinner with me after.
I said,
okay, win-win. You know, I get my resident home. I go to dinner. Mark's a nice guy. Yeah. So before cell phones, so Mark took him home. I forget what time, but Mark wasn't coming back. He wasn't coming back. And finally, about 5:30, I started shutting down my computer, and I'm like, I'm leaving. Well, then here comes Mark.
Okay.
It was not the discharge I thought it was going to be. This was a very needy gentleman, let's just say. It took me a very long time to get him settled in.
So wanted to talk.
I didn't stand her up, but she thought I was standing
up. Yeah.
Okay.
So then we did go out to dinner, and then we started hanging out, you know, sometimes before work for coffee and after work and on the weekends. And
from the small world department, the person that was the administrator that was responsible for us meeting was none other than Pat Garreau, who is now the head of Catholic Charities. At the time, he was a nursing home administrator, and he was my preceptor and Nancy's boss. So we have Pat Garreau to thank for us being together.
Good, wonderful family.
Oh, there, he's the best.
Wonderful
family. Pat. Absolutely.
If you'll stay right where you are, I hope our listeners will as well, and we'll be back with more of God Calling right after these messages. Thanks for staying tuned to God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, and we're here with Mark and Nancy Yantek. You're dating. He shook the rust off pretty well after almost making you think that he stood you up. How long did you date, and when did you finally get married?
So the first time we kissed, I went in and told my roommate, I'm going to marry him.
Oh.
Just knew.
Got the magic touch.
We weren't engaged very long at all, I think.
So we got engaged in October. We started dating seriously like March.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got engaged in October and married the following June.
Well, that's very similar to someone sitting across the microphone.
Is that right?
Yeah. Very much so.
When you know what's right, it's, you know, why
there
wait?
You go. Now, how many children do you have?
We have 3 children.
Boys, girls?
Sarah, Charles, and Anna.
And of course, Sarah's been on the program before.
Sarah's living
work.
In Chicago now, working for Catholic Extension. And Charles, he goes by CJ. He graduated from college, is looking for that career job. And Anna is a senior at Kent.
What is your family prayer life like? Because you already have one daughter, you know, working for the church, which is wonderful. Did you rosaries or just weekend mass, or how did it work?
So we were always a faithful family. Never really did the formal prayers, the rosaries, mm-hmm. as a family. But mass was a regular thing that we did, front row Sunday mornings all the time. That's how I was raised as well. My dad was never a wear-it-on-your-sleeve Catholic. He was a very faithful and devoted Catholic. But we didn't talk about our faith a lot. He lived the faith. He set an example for all,
yep.
of us, absolutely. And so you do what you know, and that's kind of what I knew as well. Nancy and I decided we wanted to make sure that our kids had a good start in the faith. It's up to them to keep it going if they want to, but they won't want to if we don't give them a good start. And so it was very important to us to make sure that our kids attended Mass. They also attended St. Angelo Merici Catholic School. And so faith was a constant presence in our house, and it continues to be to this day. They are now young adults. They're in their 20s. It's like herding cats at this point, trying to get them all together for anything. But
sure.
It's good to know that they've got that solid foundation beneath them, so that wherever they go in life, they're going to have, at least they're going to have that to take with them.
Now, where and when or how did you discern the call to maybe, obviously not go back to the cemetery, but
yeah,
to serve?
Right? Sure. Well, and that's exactly I think where it all started, probably. From my earliest memories, blame it on the sisters, blame it on the priest, I'm not sure, but suggesting every chance they got,
yep.
God needs priests. Don't you want to be a priest? And
oh,
so
boy,
I really don't remember a time when I didn't think that, yep. maybe that was something that I should be doing. And so it just felt very natural for me to go into the seminary after high school. And then even after I left, even after I discerned that God had a different path for me, I could not imagine a time when I didn't want to be of service to the church.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, I had been given this awesome opportunity to learn from seminary professors, from all these wonderful, holy, spiritual, brilliant people. And I felt like God gave me that opportunity for a reason. And so I always kind of knew that perhaps the diaconate might be in my future. But of course, as a young married and then as a young father, that becomes your priority, because
sure.
marriage is my first vocation. And so we had to make sure that we did this the right way. And then I wanted to make sure that the kids we're outnumbered 3-2, soccer and ballet and all those other things that,
sure.
that you need to do on Saturday mornings. Once our youngest was well on her way, she was in high school, Nancy and I discerned that, okay, now's probably an okay time to start thinking about the diaconate and to make this a formal thing. So I think the call was always there in the back of my mind, and in God's time, and I think I finally figured out God's time.
Nancy, did you always maybe see him going back to this, or did he kind of just break it to you one day?
No, he talked about it all along, but like anything, it's so far in the future. It'll happen when it's time. It'll
mm-hmm.
happen when it's time. You know, and we always say that when God's ready, we're ready. So he'll let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And
he'll
so
let you know.
He did. Yeah.
Yes, it's a commitment, but it's a commitment on the family too, because he's going to be spending a lot of time with other people and energy and probably sometimes in frustrating situations, and that mm-hmm. you got to be careful not to bring that home. But so how much talking does the diocese or the program do to spouses?
So one of the big things about the way that the program was run, and I'm think it still is now, is that it wasn't mandatory for wives to attend every class anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In prior years, that was something, wives had to go every Wednesday, every Saturday. And I said, no, we're not doing that. Yes. I'm going to be with the kids. Once we found out that we could make it work like that, there were some things that were mandatory that I had to attend, and,
sure.
and that was fine. And I enjoyed them, but I didn't want to have to go to every class.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that is being ordained, not me. So once we figured that out, then, yeah, it worked.
I mentioned that it was 3-2. Well, Wednesdays and Saturdays became 3-1 because I wasn't there. Nancy was the
true.
One who was holding down the fort. She was the one that was running them to soccer practice or whatever, wherever they needed to go. There's absolutely no doubt that without Nancy's support and involvement, I would not be a deacon today. She's as big a part of this as anybody else is.
Mm-hmm. The diaconate training, did you have to run through the whole shooting match as far as the book work and everything because you'd already been at seminary?
I did, yeah, yeah. I actually had, it's all in how you choose to look at it. I had a couple of classes and professors twice, 30 years separated, and it was a wonderful experience because those are wonderful guys, and I had a great time the first time around, and I appreciated it just as much the second time. But yeah, I did. I started over just like everybody else, started from square one. You're not a formal candidate for your first year. You're an right. aspirant. For the next 4 years, my classmates and I, we've really grown together. We're very close friends. All of us, they and their wives are very close friends of ours. We get together all the time socially and to support one another. So it's been a great experience.
I have this vision of a priest or a professor up at the head of the class. Did I flunk you 30 years ago? Why are you back?
Trust me, they said that more than once. There's a few of them that did, yeah.
If you'll stay with us, we hope you will, and we hope the listeners will as well on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Nancy and Deacon Mark Yannick joining us here on God Calling. Deacon, now your work, you're the head of the Regina healthcare system?
Regina Health Center.
Right? Health Center, that's
absolutely.
Right.
Regina is it's a wonderful place. It's a unique place. It's a senior care facility whose mission is specifically for retired religious and clergy. Not exclusively, but 30 years ago in 1993, all of the religious in the Diocese of Cleveland decided that they needed to do something to support one another. And so instead of continuing to take care of their own elderly members in their own mother houses and their own infirmaries, which was becoming more and more difficult for some of the smaller orders.
Sure.
They decided to create an entity where they could continue to live in community and to have that religious house feel, but also receive the level of care that they needed. And so Regina Health Center was conceived and created. In the early days, it was primarily religious. And as time has gone on, we're about 50% religious, 50% lay people. There was no requirement that anybody be Catholic to be there. In fact, we have a lot of people who are just looking for excellent nursing care. But the environment there is just so affirming to somebody who's got a vocation like mine because, you know, there are a lot of deacons whose day job is sometimes at odds with their vocation. And I am that really blessed individual that my vocation and my avocation just blend so beautifully together because every day I get to spend time with retired religious, retired clergy. I get to attend Mass every day. It's just a wonderful, affirming environment. I just love Regina.
Would you call it a faith-based?
Oh, absolutely. Faith-based would be an understatement. It is everything about the place is just it just screams religiosity. And the very first thing a visitor sees when you come in is this gorgeous chapel, which is at the center of the building, not just metaphorically, it's literally at the center of the building, but it lets you know that's what we do here. That's if you're wondering what this place is about, we center on the Eucharist and we center on taking care of each other. We continue the healing ministry of Jesus every day. And for a deacon, that's just it's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing.
So really, you're probably doing some diaconate work there.
Unofficially,
well as,
I do,
as,
yeah.
As well as
yeah.
ministering.
So sometimes, you know, sometimes I do formal diaconate ministry. We sometimes will have a resident priest who celebrates Mass there. And because of their mobility issues or age, they'll need a helping hand there. And it's sure. awesome that I get to vest and assist them at the altar as a deacon and then put my tie back on and go back to my office and do some paperwork. So I get to do a little bit of both.
You're currently assigned to Our Lady of Angels.
I am. Our Lady of Angels is right up the street from where I grew up in West Park, and it's been such a blessing to be there. I was ordained in 2018, so it's going to be 5 years here pretty soon that I've been at Our Lady of Angels. The people there have just been so embracing and so accepting of me. Didn't know me. I was a brand new. We were not parishioners there. Didn't know who I was. And they treated me like I'd been there all along. So they're just wonderful people.
Nancy, are you a parishioner there now?
Yes. I go to daily Mass at St. Brendan's. So just this year, started working in the school just a few days a week with the second graders, helping tutor them. They're a little bit behind from COVID.
Try to catch them up.
Yep, tutoring a little.
In a parish, what's it like to be Mrs. Deacon?
You know, it's... Everybody just adores Mark and
you by association,
right?
Because
when we got there, there wasn't a whole lot going on at OLA, and then COVID hit, so everything was down.
Sure.
Now we have a new pastor, Father Ramser, who is awesome. So he's bringing life back into the parish. So you know, trying to get involved here and there as time permits. You know, and everybody's just so kind and welcoming, and
I don't know how priests or deacons remember names. They must have some course that's a whiz bank. I don't know how you are as well, but everybody knows you.
Everybody knows
the
me,
second
yes.
day.
Well,
Deacon's
I just,
wife.
Yeah, right? They just know me as Deacon Mark's wife, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, hi.
Yes.
Right. Somebody told me this: the secret, if, when you're bad with names, as I am, don't say it's nice to meet you. Mm. In case you already had.
Oh, right, exactly.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you again. Yeah, right, yeah.
So as this revitalization, if you want to call it that, occurs, what have you been asked to do?
You know, this has been a terrific experience for me. The former pastor was actually a former classmate from Borromeo. He became a dear friend, Father Russ Lowe, of Happy Memory. He just passed away a few months ago. He and I had known each other since we were 18 years old. After I discerned that, God had a different calling for me, Father Russ was one of the people that married Nancy and I. We had two celebrants at our wedding. And so I was able to be there for Father Russ. He was sick with cancer for a few years, and I was able to be there and to be his hands and his feet, and that was just such a blessing. And he ended up passing his last days at Regina Health Center. So everything just comes full circle. If you let God take the wheel and let God have control of things, everything works out the way it's supposed to. So it was such a blessing to be able to be there with him. And now that Father Ramser is there, he is doing so much more than Father Russ was able to, because he was out sick an awful lot. And so now everything from, we're starting up a Legion of Mary group, a couple of Legion of Mary groups, actually, which I've been asked to be the spiritual moderator of. I have the privilege of celebrating at Eucharistic adoration at least once a month on the altar, assisting every weekend. I get to preach the word. I get to assist with projects that Father Ramser's thinking going forward here. He's got big ideas. We just need some time to get them up and running. And so he and I are going to do adult ed series going forward. So just an exciting time and so much to do. Part of the problem is there enough time to do it all? I'm still working full time. I'm still married. So somewhere, you've got to find that sweet spot in there. So
sounds like a lot of demands on time, Nancy.
Right.
Well, the blessings, I hear this over and over and over on the programs. Maybe somebody discerns out, but then it all comes full circle. But you got to put your trust. There's only one place you're sure you can place your trust, and it's not going to be betrayed in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
And,
right.
And the other thing we hear all the time on the program is prayer.
Yeah.
Just pray.
Absolutely.
And we do that every morning. That's how we start our day. Every morning I get up at 5:30 with him to do morning prayer.
Yeah.
And it's the best time of the day.
Great way to start the day.
Yeah, even when we're apart, even when I'm traveling somewhere, we'll do it on FaceTime, and we'll say morning prayer together and offer other prayers together, because that's really just a pivotal time for us.
Sure. Well, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. This is God Calling, and you've been listening to Deacon Mark and Nancy Yantek, who have basically lived a dual vocation, marriage, and of course, you're a big part of that diaconate as well, Nancy. So thank you for joining us. We hope everyone will join us each and every week at this time on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program, or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.